Hello again, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele, along with my co-host, Ann Cargard. This is going to be the ninth episode, or the tenth episode, I should say, in a long line of them that will span over the course of several months as we analyze, critique, and dissect each and every Marvel film in chronological order. Last week, we did Guardians of the Galaxy, and this week, we're going to be talking about Black Panther. Just a friendly reminder, if you like what you're hearing, you can always follow us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Just search Real Talks. That's R-E-E-L Talks. Just like my name, S-T-E-E-L-E. Also, you can follow us on social media. I'm on Twitter at WannabeRounder, LinkedIn, and on Instagram at DCaduto. Where can they find you, Ian?
I'm on Instagram at frogs_z, so that's FROOGZ_Z.
Just a couple of quick announcements. Our revamped Patreon channel is now live. You can find it by typing Real Talks into the search bar. Let me tell you a little about it. We're offering four different affordable levels you can support us at. $3, $8, $15, and our highest is only $20 a month. If you do choose to support us, you'll get some great perks, such as your name shouted out before every podcast, cool merch, and if you're one of our major contributors, you'll get a one-hour monthly Zoom meeting with Elena and myself. For more details, just go to the website. I'll leave the link in the description. So without any further ado, let's dive into this movie. So, Black Panther. This was a fantastic movie. Believe it or not, this only came out 4 years ago.
Is it only 4 years?
2018.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's crazy. So, but for the time, it was what we needed, I think. It wasn't the movie we deserved, but it was a movie we needed. So, this was done, obviously, by Marvel, distributed by Walt Disney Productions. And this had a huge budget, of course. It was close to $200 million. And so this movie is, believe it or not, this movie is one of eight movies ever in all of film history to make $200 million its opening weekend. And so four of these movies, or five of these movies, are Marvel movies, believe it or not. Endgame, Infinity War, Spider-Man No Way Home, The Force Awakens, Black Panther, Jurassic World, the first Jurassic World, and The Last Jedi. So this is in a very, very exclusive club. So it made $202 million in its first weekend. That is incredible. I mean, think about that for a minute. It only made $58 million less than Spider-Man No Way Home. That's incredible. So, yeah, this movie was just, for everything about it, was great. So this was directed by Ryan Coogler. And so he actually he'd done some really, really good work in the past. And this is the first, when we were talking about it last, on the last episode, this is the first movie to win, an Oscar. Not one, and not two, and three Oscars.
Yes, which is amazing. I mean, it was so different. It was just something that I've never seen. It still follows the same, like, formula, but it's really different, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the relationship between Michael B. Jordan and him started all the way back in 2013. And I saw a little film. It was about an African-American man in San Francisco. It was called, I don't know, you've probably never heard of this movie. But if you get a chance, go check it out. It's a great movie. It's called Fruitvale Station. And it's about, it's based on a true story. And it's about a man that is trying to get his life back together again. And he was mixed up in some criminal activity. And he was trying to go straight, had a job, whatever else. And he was New Year's Eve. And he was out with some friends. And so he got detained at a San Francisco subway station. And so they put all four or five people on the side, and they eventually shot him. And so if you actually watch the movie, there's real footage. And so this was just it was a standout performance. Subsequently, that started everything. And then a couple of years later, of course, everybody knows the story of Apollo Creed and Rocky. Well, this is Creed. And this, another outstanding breakout performance. And so, as a matter of fact, Michael B. Jordan is going to be directing Creed 3. So, I have not seen Creed 2. I own Creed 2. I want to see it. But yeah, he's going to be directing Creed 3, which comes out in a couple years. And a lot of people, including myself, when Sylvester Stallone got nominated for the Oscar, because the only other Oscar he had won was back in, I believe, 1975 or 76 for Rocky. And he ended up winning that for Rocky. And so everybody thought, okay, he's 74 years old. He got nominated. He's absolutely going to win this, running away. And so he did end up winning the Golden Globe. And the big difference, before we get into this, but the big difference is the Golden Globes are done by something called the HFP, Hollywood Foreign Press. So these are countries from around the world. And this is where you always see that strange, there's two different categories, but it's for the same thing. So they'll have like dramatic comedy. So, but he did win a Golden Globe for that. And that's what those were for. So when he went to the Oscars that year, everybody thought, okay, he's going to win the Oscar. And it still blows my mind that Mark Rylance won it for Bridge of Spies. I was floored because I saw Bridge of Spies too. And I went, what? Really? And so then a couple years later, it was on and I said, you know what? All right. Because you know how when you watch something, you go, this isn't that good. Let me give it another try.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I did. I gave it another try, you know, being objective. And I went, this is horrible. How did he win an Oscar for this? So, yeah, I mean, but getting back to Ryan Coogler, he directed this and just knocked it out of the park, to say the least. So, and as we're going through all these movies with Anne and myself, this should end, if I'm not mistaken, if my scheduling is correct, this should end right as Wakanda Forever is being released. So this is going to be perfect timing. But Ryan Coogler is a top-notch director. But those are the three films. And then, of course, last year, I shouldn't make mention of, he did Judas and the Black Messiah. So he's absolutely, you know, he's worked on the new Space Jam movie too. So,
that marvelous masterpiece.
We won't talk about that. Yeah. So yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I didn't see it. I'm not going to waste 2 hours of my life. If I want to watch Space Jam, I'll watch it with Michael Jordan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyways, I digress. So yes, Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler is the director. This film won three Oscars. And Marvel, it actually got nominated for Best Picture. Yeah, go ahead.
Which is odd for a Marvel movie. I mean, I can't think of anything else. Is it the only one that's been nominated for Best Movie?
Yes. It's the only movie ever to win or be nominated for Best Picture. So it actually got nominated. It actually got nominated for Best Sound Mixing. And it was nominated for 7, believe it or not. It was nominated for Best Sound Mixing, Best Sound Editing, which usually goes hand in hand, Best Picture of the Year, and then Best Achievement in Music. And then it won for Best Production Design, Best Costume Design. I love the costumes in this.
The costumes were very colorful. Like, wasn't there, like, I mean, there was a big focus on the costume designer, I think, during the award ceremony. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, Best Achievement in Music written for motion pictures. So, yeah, it deserved everything it got. So, yeah, it opened to $202 million. And so, as I said before, it was an achievement all the way around. So this is about a character. So we should really preface it by saying this. There is a scene, I want to say it's one of the cutscenes, where we see, right after Winter Soldier, but not right after. But very close to after Winter Soldier. So we have Cap and Bucky going to Wakanda, because Wakanda is the most technologically advanced country in the world at this point. And so what they do is freeze Bucky. And so we see the scene where Cap says to Bucky, "Are you sure about this?" And he's like, "Yeah, until they get this, you know, garbage out of my head, I can't trust myself." So you see him go into cryo freeze, and then in walks in T'Challa. And Cap says to him, "Thank you for doing this." And he's like, "Your friend was a innocent victim." And then he says, "Well, you know they're going to come for you." And he says, "Let them try." And then the next shot, you see it pans over to a huge Black Panther. And it's like, okay, game on. So, yeah. But this is... So this was 2 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, take away the 8 or 9 minutes for... credits, and it didn't seem like 2 hours. I mean, this movie flew by.
A lot happened. I mean, they went to like how many locations? They went to how many countries?
Yeah, they went to quite a few. Let's dive into this, and then we're gonna talk about, it's one of those things where, so let's dive right into this. "Long live the king" was the tagline for this. So voice from a young boy asked him to tell him a story about vibranium. So when we start this movie, this is what we see. And so vibranium at this point is what Cap's shield is made out of. So this is a film where all of the pieces start to come together. So like in Age of Ultron, where, you know, you had Klaus trying to get he was in possession of the vibranium. You had Ultron trying to steal it. You had, scene in Captain America Civil War, where nearly the end of the movie when Iron Man finds out that his parents were killed by the Winter Soldier, and he was carrying vibranium with him. So, I mean, this is all starting to come together. So he asks to tell him a story and how it affects all of these nations and the tribes. And there's a certain heart-shaped herb that's affected by the metal. So you gain.
Didn't it actually have a different name? Did they just kept calling it the heart shaped herb, right?
Yeah, I think so. So eventually, he became the first Black Panther, and 4 of the 5 tribes decided to submit to his power, and 1 of the tribes wanted freedom. So they used the vibranium to develop, as we were talking about, highly advanced technology, and so from the outside, they were hidden. So it looked like they were one of the most desolate countries in the world, but really they were one of the most advanced countries in the world. So in Oakland, California, Prince Naju vows to share the Wakanda technology with the people of African descent around the world in order to help them. And so he enlists this black market arms dealer. So now we go fast forward a few years. And King T'Challa, who I loved, of course, we didn't get enough of him. That would be an interesting movie. And I wouldn't be shocked to see if this happens, Anne, in Wakanda Forever. I would be very interested to see if we get like a backstory of the king.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see because, I mean, he didn't have, you know, enough backstory.
Right.
He just seemed like the villain. He seemed like the villain, but he wasn't. I mean,
yeah.
I'd like more backstory behind yeah. it.
So at this point, he basically confronts somebody and he threatens to kill his friend for a younger Forrest Whitaker. And so he saves to save Suri. So basically, in order to he has to make a really bad choice, right? Does he expose his country to whatever that it could be, or does he kill his friend to keep a secret? So now we go forward in the present day, and after T'Challa's death at the hands of Zemo, of course, Zemo is the villain of Captain America Civil War. So as you can see, all of the pieces of the puzzle are starting to come together. Disguised as a masked James Bond, of course, the Winter Soldier. So basically, so his son T'Challa returns to Wakanda to assume the throne. So after working with Okoa, is that that's how you pronounce your name, yeah? Okoa?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, Okoa, the leader of the all-fighting female, forced the Dirigemon to extract her ex-lover from an undercover assignment and reunites her with the queen, played by Angela Bassett. Some of the stars they got for this movie were unbelievable. Angela Bassett, Forrest Whitaker, Michael B. Jordan, Chadwick Boseman, and it was the only way it was going to work. So, and the younger sister, Suri, who actually, so the story goes that Suri, for Wakanda Forever, because she had said some things, it looked like she was going to get released from the picture. And then they brought her back because of whether, you know, story or she apologized or whatever. So now she's back filming with them. So she is the technological genius of the whole thing. And at the King's ceremony, he's challenged for the crown by somebody from another tribe. And
I have to ask you about Suri. Did you think she was an annoying character? I've heard a lot of people are moaning and begroning that she might be the next Black Panther.
You know, it'd be an interesting. It would only seem fitting, right?
Because yeah, I feel like
if her brother was Black Panther and he died. And however, you know, and that's going to be the $64,000 question. Like, how are they going to get around the fact that he's no longer there? Or, you know, what I would probably do is say that, you know, after several attempts, you know, after several people wanted the throne, eventually somebody ended up killing him.
Yeah.
And that way you could get around that. But as far as annoying, I mean, I don't think she was in the picture enough. I mean, she was, but. Annoying? Probably not annoying. Just, yeah, I know. I think the answer to your question would probably be no. You know, and that's the beauty of film, right? It's all subjective. So I think that it's one of those things where now she could become annoying if she's in this picture and it's not done well.
Yeah.
So let's keep that in mind. So yeah. So now we go to London. A gang leading by Klaus, who once again was in Age of Ultron, and this is where the black ops soldier Eric Steven, aka Killmonger, this is Michael B. Jordan's character, steals a ancient Wakanda vibranium axe from a museum. And when the tribal elders receive words that Klaus has resurfaced in South Korea, T'Challa's friend, who lost his parents as a result of the dealer's action, urged the young monarch to bring him to justice. So now they have to go intercept him, and where they want to find out where he's going to be selling the axe. And this is where the plan goes wrong. T'Challa finds out that the buyer is a CIA agent, and Klaus had set up the deal. So subsequently, the deal goes sour. We get a car chase, and this is all of those things you see in the trailer. And so in that, Ross is seriously injured. Now, he gets shot, I believe, And instead of letting him die, then bring him back to Wakanda. So, to save his life. So now Killmonger kills Klaus, takes his body as a token, revealing his identity. And then he goes back to, after ingesting the herb, to regain the powers of the Black Panther. He goes and he goes back to Wakanda. And he wants to get the throne. So, at this point, he has a battle with the current Black Panther, T'Challa, and it looks like he kills him. And so, at this point, then, Killmonger basically starts doing all of these evil things, and he's going to start using all of this vibranium and everything else for evil. And his plan is to take over the world with this. And so, they flee. Once they think he's dead, that his family flees to another tribe. And so they find T'Challa. And they give him the herb. And so he's revived. And then right when... So you have Ross that's been healed. T'Challa's back. And so just when things are about to go south and they pick up... and start leaving Wakanda, one of the planes gets shot down. And so we find T'Challa. And that's when, you know, he's walking through the field, and then you see that wide shot of him, and says, "I never yielded. Clearly I'm not dead. I never yielded." So this is where, you know, the guard actually tries to subdue Killmonger, and that doesn't work. Then it looks like Suri's going to get killed by him, and T'Challa intercepts him. And meanwhile, Ross is then going to actually go and take one of these planes, which he's not in a plane, if you remember. He's in it like a virtual reality thing, but he's flying.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting thing. Like, they don't have to, like, I feel like they should have gone a little bit more with that, you know, like having their CGI robots. Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, you know, he basically saves the day because of that. He has to reboot it and everything else. And he eventually shoots him down. And then you have the battle between T'Challa and Killmonger. And so he actually uses the vibranium.
What do you think of that fight scene? Like... did you think it was a little bit over the top? Like the decorations and the stuff in the mines? I thought it was a little over the top.
No. I mean, because you got to remember, with the black suits, you needed something of the other, you know, completely different color. So
that's true.
Like, you couldn't have. Yeah, go ahead.
You go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that, yeah, you needed the opposite colors. That's all.
And that color choice, and actually, if you notice, like, a lot of the other actors, like, they had a different palette. I think, like, in the Wakanda series, like, did you notice that the lighting was different? Like, a lot of it was, you know, more complementary to the actors' skin tones,
no.
Things like that.
No.
I think they actually changed the palette of the movie to kind of facilitate that.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
It was really cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is where, you know, technical things like lighting and costume design and music and setting are so incredibly important to movies. Because if you don't have the right score or the right costumes or whatever it is, hair and makeup, it doesn't work. And, I mean, you know, whether it's cars going down the street and, you know, in the 1970s and you got, you know, a Honda Accord, you know, or something, or, if, you know, it's supposed to be a romantic scene and you have like rock music playing or something. It's so important. And, you know, we just did Guardians of the Galaxy. And one of the major, I mean, that's your favorite movie and that's one of my favorite movies as long as, you know, as well as millions of other people. And the one thing that you can tell about that movie, it's not the story. I mean, there are so many good things wrong with it. Like, you have one of the actors in Chris Pratt. You have, you know, Rocket Raccoon and Bradley Cooper with voiceover. You've got, you know, the acting and Dave Bautista. It's a simple fact of the songs, the soundtrack. That soundtrack is one of the most popular soundtracks in the world because of the choices. And the same thing can be said for, you know, technical things like lighting. And, you know, one of the coolest shots that I'm thinking of off the top of my head is the beginning of Heat. You know, you see a subway passing by. It's pitch black out. And you see, you know, at night, and it's just a subway going, and it's lighting up Los Angeles. And then you see a wide shot of all the skyscrapers. That's setting the tone for the movie. So when you have something like the lighting, it's setting the tone for not only the characters, but the story to come. I mean, hell, even take Star Wars. You remember characters by their music. Da, 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 you know, whenever you hear Darth Vader's theme, you know, the Imperial theme, you know, it's, oh, okay, it's this scene. It's Darth Vader's scene, right? So those kind of things are so vital to a movie. So when you're talking about lighting like that, it's incredibly, incredibly important. So, yeah, there's a huge fight scene in the mine. And then T'Challa kills him. And so he basically, Sonic disrupts it. He uses the metal to incapacitate the armor. And when his body's exposed, he stabs him. He then takes Killmonger to see the sunset of Wakanda. And offers to heal him. But that he knew that he'd be in prison and he'd rather die a free man. He pulls the stake out of his chest and dies peacefully. And I think that's kind of an editorial thing too. Because you could say, hypothetically say, that somebody would rather die believing, or, you know, die fighting for what they believe in, than living in a prison and being alive, right?
And I think that was, you know, his whole backstory was principle. You know, it was, mm-hmm. A lot of it was, you know, this is who I am, this is what I believe. Like, that was his entire motivation. And
yeah. So, but with the victory, so T'Challa gets the throne back. And one of them is granted the National Tribal Council to represent his tribe and recognition to his loyalty. He's the one who saved him. And rejecting the isolationism of past Wakanda kings, T'Challa actually establishes an embassy in the United States to be run by Suri and another character. And there's actually a really cool scene where, so at the beginning of the movie, we're at this basketball court in what looks like this poorish neighborhood. And at the end, you see them go back to the same neighborhood and the plane or the ship just touches down. You know, and so Suri makes the comment of, you know, so what are you going to build here? You know, and I'm butchering the line, but, you know, she talks about a Starbucks. Like, you know, you're the most advanced country in the world and you don't have a Starbucks, right? But yeah, so. And so in the post-credit scenes, like I said, Suri actually helps Bucky Barnes recuperate. And this is where he gets frozen, Cap, and they have that conversation. This movie did so many things for so many people. Number one, it was a cultural experience. Because African-Americans got a hero that finally looked at like them, right? And they said, oh, if he can be a superhero, so can I. Number two, you saw the wide reception for it, right? $200 million since opening weekend. Unbelievable. I remember, this tells you something. I remember going, this is when the days of MoviePass, okay? So for all those who aren't familiar with MoviePass, MoviePass was this little scam. And they since have gone under, but they would send you this little like credit card, and you had an app and then all you do is check in, and then you just show them the card, and then, you know, you would see your movie. So subsequently, there were a lot of things that brought it down. Anyways, I saw this movie 3 times with that movie pass, and I went and I bought the movie while it was still in theaters. So that just tells you the longevity of it. Yeah. So it was just, so yeah, like I was saying, culturally, it just, it did that. The acting, I thought the acting was fantastic. The cast they got, as I may have mentioned before, was unbelievable. Forest Whitaker, Angela Bassett, Michael B. Jordan, Chadwick Boseman, you know, goes on and on and on. It was the right, you got to remember too, that Thor Ragnarok had just come out the year before. So they were coming off another really, really good movie. So they were running high at that point. And then a couple of months later, you had Infinity War come out. So here's a little story about that movie pass. I remember going to see Black Panther, as I said, 3 times with the movie pass. And right before Infinity War came out, like 30 days, they came, and I say they, movie pass changed there, because at that time you could go as many times as you wanted to actually see whatever movie you wanted. There were no blackout dates.
That was the whole appeal of the thing.
Right. 30 days before Infinity War comes out, they changed their terms and conditions. And they said, you can only go see a movie one time. Found that a little strange, considering you're going to have one of the biggest movies of all time come out. Nobody will never find out, and I know, wasn't, I had a feeling Disney had a hand in that, because they knew that if people went back to see this 4, 5, 6 times, the amount of money they were going to lose was immense. I actually saw Infinity War 3 times in the theaters. Once I used my points that I had for my Regal Pass, once I used my movie pass, and the other time I paid for it. But I just found that very, very strange. 30 days before, and now they're shutting the door, so to speak. Yeah. So, but back to Black Panther. It was just an amazing movie. Now, unfortunately, and this is, Chadwick Boseman died way, way, way too young. And he died, he was only 43.
He could have been the next Iron Man, I think.
Yes, he could have. He really could have. The end of August, a couple years ago, and he died of cancer. Colon cancer, stage 4. And he really, the roles he selected, you have to remember, he did movies like, you know, Marshall, about Thurgood Marshall being the first African-American Supreme Court justice. He did August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. He did, of course, Black Panther. And he did Get On Up, playing James Brown, you know. So, and it just, he chose roles that were so incredibly important. And so, yeah, he's missed. And when he filmed Black Panther with stage 3, that whole movie. And so when he wasn't needed, he went to go do chemo. When he was in Endgame, he was at stage 4. You want to talk about a superhero. So, yeah, it was a tragic, tragic story. But this movie, this just shows you how incredibly well-received this was. This made $700 million here in the States. $647 million over. This movie, Ann, $1.3 billion. That's incredible. Now, compared to this, Spider-Man No Way Home, that just finished its run, I don't know, a month or two ago, $1.8 billion, and that sits at number four all time opening weekend. Number three. So that just tells you something. So a couple questions here moving forward. Number one, where do you think they take? Because look, this is probably going to be one of the most anticipated Marvel movies in years.
Yeah.
What do you think they do with Wakanda Forever?
They bring back his sister. I think they're just going to move Wakanda. I think it's just going to have to be Wakanda, like moving into the real world, you know, not being an isolation area and like just kind of like their I think it's going to be more of like a kind of like, you know, with, you know, other movies where they've gone more on a global scale. I think this one's going to go that same direction.
Okay. So then the other question is, who do you think the big bad's going to be for the movie? Or do we know?
I don't think we know. Do you think we do?
No. I don't think we know. But who do you – so this comes out in October. We're 4 or 5 months away. So this comes out and this comes out the second week of the month. So So November 11th it comes out. And so the synopsis that IMDb has right now is a sequel that will continue to explore the world of Wakanda and all the characters introduced in the 2018 film. So do you think what they're going to do is then turn around and have all of the other actors and all the other tribes be fighting for the thing of Black Panther?
Ooh, that would be a good idea. I think that's...
Like, you have all the leaders? I mean, that would be an interesting dynamic there. Maybe there's turmoil within the council. There's so many different directions they can go. I mean, a lot of people thought they were going to bring back Killmonger and, you know, have him be the new Black Panther. So let me ask you this. Do you think... I think Kevin Feige's decisions have been unbelievable. There isn't a misstep that he's had. Do you think they should recast Black Panther? Or do you think they should let it be? Okay.
They should let it be. I mean, I think it would just kind of cheapen it, you know?
Yeah, only cheapen it, I think that whoever got the role would have to try and fill their Chadwick's shoes, and you just can't do that. So that's hard. This is probably going to be the biggest Marvel film we've had in a few years. And I said it before, and I think another podcast, I wouldn't be shocked if by the end of Thor, Love and Thunder, in those credit scenes, I wouldn't be shocked if you saw the big bad of the phase of the next 10 years. If not then, definitely here. Because you have to look at something like The Avengers was the fifth film, right? We had Iron Man, we had Iron Man 2, we had Thor, we had Captain America. And then we finally saw Thanos for the first time, even though everybody knew he was coming. Well, we're now what? Four pictures. So we're almost five pictures in here. So we've got Black Widow, Shang-Chi, The Eternals, Spider-Man No Way Home, and Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. So if they don't come up with something in Thor, they're going to have everybody wondering. So that is July 8th. this is November 11th, then you don't have something come out until, and I think Quantumania got pushed back. I could be wrong about that. But if it didn't, that's in February. So you've got to ask yourself, okay, which one of the three movies that I just named would be more likely to have a big bad? Definitely not Thor, because Thor is more of, they're winding down that character.
Yeah, this is going to be his fourth film. Hurrah, I think.
So Black Panther is definitely going to be a more serious picture, okay? Even though you're going to bring everybody back and all that. And Ant-Man's more of a, for lack of a better word, jovial. Scott Lang's a more jovial character. So that means you're not going to have anything really asserting there until next year's Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And we're not going to wait a whole year to see who the big bad is. That's way too long.
Right.
Even though you have series coming out. So, I don't know. I think if you're absolutely going to see, by November, you're absolutely going to see the big bad, if it's not this one.
Are we betting a coffee on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, since who do you think, and now that we know possibly when they're going to be there, who do you think it's going to be?
Oh, gosh. You know, they're introducing Zeus in
Love and
in
Thunder.
The new Thor movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the old scene that, you know, that's the end of, I mean, they do their trailer so well, but that's like the final scene. That's the funny scene where, you know, Zeus throws this thing and, not throws it, but he snaps it and he blows Thor's clothes off. And he's like, no, too much. And all the ladies just collapse, you know. But so I was, and that tells you something. They got Russell Crowe. I mean, my goodness. But so, yeah, yes, they are introducing Zeus. But do you really think he would be? But Zeus isn't. He's not a villain, is he?
I mean, that would be a perfect villain. Like, you know, turn it on its head. Make a, you know, hero god into a villain. Because they're getting rid of Thor. They've got to have a god somewhere.
True. Well, I mean, and this is what I said about, you know, I said it in one of my last podcasts. I'm really, 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 because I don't know if you'd agree with me on this, but Marvel has a serious problem with his female characters and how they just kill them off. Whether it's Gamora in Endgame, whether what they did with Black Widow, whether it's what they did with Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, whatever it is. If they don't correct something real quick, they're going to lose a lot of female fans. Now, what I said was, I'm going to be curious to see how they treat this Jane Foster character. I mean, that's the old, that was the punchline, right? When Thor goes to get his hammer and then it goes to Jane and he's like, Jane, you know, and she's dressed up in the armor. So I'll be very, if they can sport and they can show her as a strong female character, they're going to be right back in everybody's good graces. But it's going to take time. I mean, I've always said, look, if you want a $1 billion idea, you put all the female superheroes together. You put Black Widow together. You put Scarlet Witch together. You put Captain Marvel together. You put Gamora together. You put, you know, Nebulous. You put, you know, all of them together. You put the right story together. You put the right villain together. That's a $1 billion film right there. It's a $1 billion film. Because if Doctor Strange made $500 million in its first weekend and that was subpar, which, by the way, did you ever see Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, how did you like it?
It was interesting. It was a lot different. It had a Wanda Vision vibe, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I thought that it was good. I mean, I thought it was, I'll be honest, I thought it was a lower tier movie. I mean, Sam Raimi's amazing director. But
there's some great scenes in it. I don't know if I want to
absolutely.
Spoil. I don't want to spoil things to people. But
oh, yeah.
It was,
no, well,
there's
look,
some
if
good
you
scenes.
Go, if you want to go back and listen to the spoiler cast, I did a whole spoiler cast of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. go see it. It's right now it's on the 22nd, I believe it's going to be coming to Disney Plus. So you're not going to be missing anything. Go tell our listeners what you like, Leanne.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Don't worry. Go tell us the thing that you really liked about it.
The scenery. I always like the Doctor Strange visuals on it. You know, like the paint universe or like the fighting with the different musical notes.
I loved. That was so creative. That was so creative.
I think somebody just thought of that idea.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That was so creative. I did find that it was kind of strange that it took a little bit of getting used to the dead Doctor Strange talking, you know, but
wanted to know your opinion about the zombie. Was that makeup or is that CGI, do you think?
I think it was makeup.
The zombie.
Because
I was really impressed with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was makeup. Because if you're doing something like that, you got to remember CGI costs a lot of money. And this had a budget of, I want to say, like $200+ million. And so anything you can get away with doing practical, they're going to do a practical because it's just going to save them money. So, I think that was makeup. It was all right. It had some real missteps as far as story was concerned. But there was some other, it was middle of the road. But, like I said, if that made $187 million opening weekend, you can only imagine. If Thor is good, you can only imagine. That might, I don't want to say might, I don't think it will just because of the character and his arc. You're talking about, that's going to make $150 million. At least. By the way, that $187 million was the 11th largest of all time. That tells you something. So,
You could like fund a small country with some of these budgets.
Here's a little something for you. If you want to go back, I did a whole mid-year review, of 2022. Go back and listen to that. But so what I do in there is I detail the 6 movies that led the way for each month. And in January, Spider-Man No Way Home led the month with $153 million. It had been out over a month. Up until that point, by the end of January, that movie had grossed $330+ million. It's just astounding. The Batman opened to $150 million. Doctor Strange opened to $187 million. So, it just shows you if the story is good and it's well conceived, you're going to get repeat business. Look at Top Gun. Top Gun's a perfect example. Made $160 million this last weekend. And, it's probably going to break 85 or 90 this week. And all of that was, by the way, all of those effects, they were practical. They were flying those jets.
This is just like, wasn't it $100,000 or something every half an hour they've flown those planes?
So all of the actors, I know we're getting off topic, but the fact is that they went through, every single one of those actors and actresses went through Navy SEAL training, and like real Top Gun training. And they shot 800, if you go back and listen to one of the other podcasts, the THR, we talked about that movie, Joe Kaczynski, shot 800 hours of footage. And it was because of the planes and how they flew the planes and everything else, because they could only get one or two runs. So, goes to show you, if movies are made well, even with large budgets, there's no doubt that they can make their money back plus some. I mean, all you got to do, I mean, we were just talking about Black Panther. That made $1.3 billion. It's incredible. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, Marvel, if you want to go back and listen to the Blockbuster preview, I had Ryan McQuaid on, and he talks about all about Marvel and the problems that really they have had while everybody's enjoyed these films. It's either Marvel, as he called it, Marvel or everything else. And he's right. Because you have two, sometimes three movies coming out. I mean, we're getting next year, we're getting at least two. Probably, yeah, we're getting three movies next year. We're getting, assuming Ant-Man still keeps a February 17th date, we're getting Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We're getting Guardians of the Galaxy 3 on May 5th. And then we're getting the Marvels in July. End of July. And what they're doing is they're setting up. So what they're doing for everything that's brand new, they're taking their Disney Plus platform and they are putting their introduction to their characters on there. Like Ms. Marvel, for example. Ms. Marvel is coming out fairly recently, I think within next week or the week after. They are going to introduce her on Disney Plus, and then when she comes out, when the Marvels comes out at the end of July of next year, everybody's going to know, right? So, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's actually genius. And that's what they did for WandaVision, too. They did a week-by-week-by-week episode. I mean, they looked at the Netflix model and they said, you know what? It doesn't work. Because I could sit down, you take any show you like on Netflix and binge it, and you're done in a weekend. And then you've got to wait 18 months for them to release something else. When WandaVision started, it was one of the lowest shows out there. By episode 4, guess what? It was the highest rated show in the world, Ann. So, and that is what drew everybody to the theater, because they knew who the big bad was going to be. And they said, okay, it's a continuation. We want to see more of this character. And so that's why you had $187 million. And that's what they're doing with Ms. Marvel. So they'll introduce her here. By the way, I love the fact that she is – they're going the diversity route. It's just not another Caucasian female. They're actually making her Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
And this actress is supposed to be amazing from what I understand.
They had a lot of like cultural references to that in the preview as well. So
yes. And so, yeah, and so this is going to, I think, do very well. And then when the Marvels come out in next year, it's going to be, you know, doing well. I wouldn't be shocked. Don't be shocked in probably not obviously this picture or the next picture. Start of 2023, maybe Ant-Man, if you see a Captain Marvel or Miss Marvel reference. Because they're... What they like to do is give you a nugget or tease you a little, and then in 6 months go, oh, here we go. We're going to pay this off. And so they end up paying it off very well. But, yeah, I'm sorry this blew up into all these different things. But Black Panther is, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the top five Marvel films of the 27 out there. If I had to label this, somebody asked me, okay, I only can watch five Marvel films. I want to get caught up. What were they? At least for the Infinity Saga, it's going to be Civil War. It's going to be Black Panther. It's going to be Endgame. It's going to be the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. Those would be my five films to sit down and say, There you go. It was so well done. I just hope that, and one problem with sequels, and if you actually want to go back and listen to reboots, remakes, and sequels, I talk about the differences and the popularity of them. But my hope is that everybody's not expecting this to be like an Empire Strikes Back, where it's so good and so amazing. Because 9 out of 10 sequels, they never live up to the hype. So, but anyways, you have any closing thoughts, Anne?
Good movie. I mean, wonderful visuals, beautiful costuming. I like the lighting. I like the details. I think that, you know, a lot of the practical effects were great with this one. And the rhinos were pretty
awesome. Yes, the rhinos.
I want a pet rhino.
Yeah, the rhinos were great. By the way, that was just, you know, and see, you're able to get away with that too. Like, where else, in what other world, would you even be able to have that kind of rhino and get away with
ridiculous,
it? Exactly! Right. Because there's no such thing as ridiculous when you're in a Wakanda like that. Everything is, you know. But, yeah, I think overall, I mean, I'll just close by saying this. He's going to be sorely missed for the sequel. It's going to be fascinating to see where the plot goes. It's going to be fascinating to see how the story is. But I think we're going to learn a lot. And I know we're only in June right now. We're 5, 6 months away. It's going to be fascinating to see what the first trailer reveals. Because once that first trailer comes out, it will probably come out, my guess is September, you know, that we're going to get an idea of where they're going to go. And that's going to, they usually do it anyways, but they have to knock that first trailer out of the park. But not give too much away. That's going to be a key. Because, you know, and I said this in the Thor Love and Thunder, Kevin Feige even came out with Doctor Strange and said, look, we gave way too much away. Everybody knew there were going to be cameos. Everybody, because they put it in the trailer. That was stupid.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It gives away the surprise. People are going to see it anyway. I mean, I'm not going to see it just because of, special guest.
And I really hope, for Marvel's sake, I hope that because of the success of No Way Home, and now you've had it in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, I really hope they don't go down the path of cameos. Because what they're going to do is they're going to, instead of having the story revolve around the cameos, they're going to have the cameos revolve around the movies. And that, to me, that's where the story suffers. So, we'll see.
No one cares. No one cares nowadays.
No. If you reveal too much, they'll tune right out. Will they see it? Yeah, sure. But what you want, at the end of the day, what you're dying for is repeat business. You want somebody to go see that movie and say, you know what? That was so good, I want to go back and see it again. Because if I go to see it, and then I take a friend to go to see it, and then they take a friend, that's what they want. They just, right. They don't want, because that's how they make their money. So, anyways, so this was just an amazing movie. And one hopes that the sequel is going to be as good as that. So next week, what we're going to do is we are going to talk about Avengers, The Age of Ultron, and then we're going to do Ant-Man, the Scott Lang character. I guess I'm excited for Ant-Man, but Age of Ultron is a little more up my alley. Although I did watch it today and I found some problems with it, but I'll talk about that next week. We have coming up on Tuesday, we're going to be doing Steven Spielberg movies, and that is going to be in preparation for the big movie of the year, I think, is the final Jurassic World movie, Jurassic World Dominion. The week after that, we have a standalone Pixar movie. Do you like Pixar?
I do. Okay. I mean, there's been a few misses, like the dinosaur one. But
yeah.
I'd say majority, yes.
But, so we're going to be doing a Toy Story preview. Also, we're going to talk all about all the other Pixar movies, like Up and everything else. That's all anticipation for Lightyear. So that's going to be a big movie. It'll be interesting to see how that does, because you're going to have Jurassic World only be out a week. And who's going to take the business away from who? So that's going to be fascinating to see. And then the week after that, we're going to be, for the main topic podcast, we're going to be doing biopics. So, I mean, we're talking about movies like Steve Jobs, Joy, you know, there's countless others. And then we have that's going to be all in anticipation for the big movie that week in Elvis. So, Tom Hanks is going to be the co-star and he's going to be playing the manager. And then, of course, what you're looking forward to in July 8th is Thor: Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really interesting to see where they go with that. How they do Jane's character, a boatload of other questions. And what we'll do is probably that week we'll end up doing a preview of that. And then we have another movie coming out. I think it might be the end of June or middle of July. I don't know off the top of my head. It's a horror movie. I love horror movies. I mean, good horror movies. I know you're not such a big fan, but
no,
it's called The Black Phone. Can't. Yeah. So it's called The Black Phone. It's about,
you can talk the about synopsis. That with somebody else.
Yeah. So that's going to be out. And then we got a huge summer coming out next week. I talked to Jeff. We're going to be starting Sci-Fi Sundays. We're going to be doing every single Star Trek movie from the motion picture all the way through the six. And then we're going to do Generations. We're going to do Nemesis. We'll do all of those. And we're going to do the reboots. And that's going to be a subscription series, but that'll be $6.99 a month. You'll get if you do subscribe, you'll get a shout out for every single podcast in the month. And then I have something that I'm on the fence about doing. It's this is basically, if I have time, it's called Mob Mondays, where we talk about mobster movies, The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, Mean Streets, all those great movies, Departed. So things like that. So we'll see. But yeah. So if you don't want to subscribe to Sci-Fi Sundays, you're going to have plenty of other content. You'll have the main podcast. You'll have the weekly roundup. These Flashback Fridays podcasts. Do consider heading on over to the Patreon. I have four really affordable levels for you guys. $3, which is like a cup of coffee at Starbucks. $8, that's a little less than a gallon of gas today. $15 is going to get you some cool merch. Our biggest one is now $20. And that's really not that much. What you're going to get is a lot of stuff. You're going to get some merch. You're going to get a shout out on all these podcasts that we're doing. You're going to get a one-hour Zoom meeting with Lena and myself. And you're going to get one podcast that I'm not even going to release. It's going to be yours. So absolutely consider that. And if you don't want to do that, go hit the follow button. Because we've got so much stuff coming up this year. It's going to be a lot. So with all that being said, I am David Steele, and she is Ann Cargard, and you have been listening to Real Talk.